Well, Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver is just back from a quick trip to Africa. He flew home in Air Force One with none other than the President of the United States. He joins us right now. And Congressman, welcome home. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good to be back home.
Well, this was a personally significant trip for the president, you know, who returned to his father's home country of Kenya. I'm wondering what the president talked about on the journey home aboard Air Force One.
Well, the president has his own bedroom and office and cabinet room on Air Force One. So he spends most of the time back in his in the office, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But he did come out and sit and talk for a pretty long while when we got there, and he did talk about how significant this trip was for him because, first of all, as you probably know, there's been some criticism by African leaders for not paying more attention to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that this was important, and he talked about the fact that he was able to sit down with his grandmother, his sister, first cousins, uncles, and aunts, and listen to them, his father. And he said he felt that connection to Africa more so on this trip than he did when he made two previous trips to Nairobi to visit with his family. And in fact, he actually became a little emotional during the conversation because he talked about the fact that we in the United States have, in fact, lost some connectivity because of slavery to our ancestral land. And at one point he said, you know, this hopefully will signal to people, not just African Americans, that their heritage is important. And he said specifically, well, you know, I want my two girls to connect up with Kenya and Ireland.
Hmm.
And he said that's one of the things that I hope this trip will generate in the minds and hearts of Americans.
He mentioned Ireland, Congressman. Why?
A part of the ancestral home on his mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised for him to say Ireland.
Do you think he's paid enough attention to Africa during his years as president?
Well, obviously, he did not do that during the first 4 years, I have to be honest. And one of the reasons was he took office, and I remember him saying, after being in office for about 3 weeks, that the economy was far worse than he was led to believe. And having been on the Financial Services Committee, which is the banking committee dealing with all those issues, I understood exactly what he was saying. President Kenyatta of Kenya actually mentioned it in a speech. He said, I know some of my colleagues here on the continent are critical of you, Mr. President, for not spending enough time, but we are glad that as president you have returned. And they thanked him and us, frankly, the Congress, for passing AGOA, which is a major, major trade agreement with Africa that was put in place probably 25 years ago by Congressman Charlie Rangel. This allows Africa to do significant business with the United States, and it allows them to export to the United States in ways that would not be possible but for this agreement.
How was he received in Africa, Congressman? Give us your sense from watching him and watching the crowds there.
It was unbelievable, and that's the question everybody has asked. It was unbelievable. When we left the hotel one morning going to one of the state dinners, in the evening, you could see probably 100,000 people.
Wow.
Lined along the streets. I mean, there was not room for sunlight to go between any of the people lined along the street for probably maybe 10 miles. And we were estimating as we rode in the motorcade that it had to at least been 100,000 people. And they could have gotten probably 1 million people in the arena where he spoke in Kenya. But it had seating. It was a basketball arena, and it only had seating for 6,000. Huh. But the country is so proud. It is almost ineffable. It's almost unspeakable in human language how the pride they felt in one of their own coming home. People were weeping when he walked into the arena. They stood and cheered. He actually had to gesture for them to sit. I think they'd still be cheering. We'd still be sitting in the arena. They were just so excited. And his sister introduced him to the crowd, which added to the, I think, the connection that they felt with President Obama. And she talked about picking him up in an old used Volkswagen when he came there 25 years ago, and he then got up afterward and said yes, and it broke down 3 times on the way home, and it was just an unbelievable atmosphere created by the pride and joy people felt in having the son of a Kenyan sit in the Oval Office of the most powerful nation on the planet. And they mentioned that over and over and over again, they being the leaders of Kenya, whenever we were at the official event. It was just dramatically moving to sit there and watch the people all around us.
We're visiting with Missouri Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. Congressman, I can't recall, have you been to Africa before?
Yes, I've been to Africa, but it has never been like this. Even when I've gone there before, I was not able to feel the connection because Jesse Jackson back in the 1970s, late 70s, visited Africa and came back and began to say to Americans that we needed to American blacks, that we needed to refer to ourselves as African Americans. And that's where that whole phrase began, because before that we were saying we were blacks. We were saying before that Negroes. So Jesse Jackson brought that back home, and I think that for many began at least the desire to want to know more about their homeland. And then I think Alex Haley, with his book Roots,
right,
generated a lot more concern. But nothing, absolutely nothing, can match what I, thank God, I experienced by watching the Kenyan people almost worship someone that they consider to be a native son.
I'm wondering, have you traced your own lineage in Africa, Congressman? Have you been to a place that would be home to your ancestors?
No, we are. When I leave Washington, I'm going to San Antonio to a family reunion. We are in the process now of trying to do that.
Huh.
We believe that we know pretty much where we're from, because on the Cleaver side, which is not our real name, but on the Cleaver side, most of the people live into their 90s and 100s. My father is 93 and in good shape. His grandfather was 103.
Wow.
So we have the ability that most African Americans don't have, and that is we can go back at least to this country and to the slave plantation where we were, which was in Cherokee County, Texas.
Hmm.
But I'm going to start pushing as much as I can African Americans to look at where they're from, and then it ought to be like Islam. Every Muslim is supposed to try as hard as they can to go to Mecca,
mm-hmm,
at least one time before they die, and that's what I'm going to start pushing as I do speeches around the country, and as I talk with other members of Congress and African-American leaders. We ought to go at least once after finding our rootage through this new DNA process.
And so you're going to undertake that process yourself, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. Although I have shared it with some of my colleagues since I've been back, and everybody agrees that that's something that we need to push. And I think if we can get the major African-American denominations, of which I'm not a member, I'm actually United Methodist, which is a predominantly white denomination. But if we can get the major denominations, the AMEs, the AME Zions, the CME, the Christian Methodist, the National Baptist Convention, and so forth, to start doing that, making that a part of that orientation of new members, I think we can make it a very significant desire and goal on the part of most African Americans.
When you weren't with the president, what did you do there?
Well, we actually could not go out into the community because, as you know, Boko Haram is very active in Kenya, and the terrorist threat was very real there, and so we could not actually leave the hotel, unfortunately.
Wow.
Unless we were on the bus with security, including Secret Service agents from the U.S. and Kenyan Secret Service and Ethiopian Secret Service when we went to Ethiopia. But what we need to say is that most people were frustrated because we could only see the official sites. I think we didn't get a very clear picture of all of Kenya. Nairobi is a thriving modern city with skyscrapers, which was a bit surprising. But we did have meetings with local officials, and we did meet with members of the Kenyan and the Ethiopian Congress. We did go to the AU, the African Union headquarters, which is in Addis Ababa, and there we had the chance to interact with the secretaries of the African Union, which was also very, very, very interesting because the Ethiopians as well as the Libyans expressed frustration over the fact that Westerners refused to acknowledge that those countries are in fact in Africa, and so they were there. Morocco, which is also in Africa, there's a big dispute, so they have withdrawn their membership. But we could see the city at the distance. We did have the opportunity to go to the Mickey Leland Memorial in Ethiopia.
Remind me who that is.
Congressman Mickey Leland was from Houston, Texas, and he became obsessed with fighting hunger. And he went back and forth to Africa, back and forth. And on one trip, he was told not to take off by U.S. officials. He chartered an African plane where where much of the equipment did not work. And so they were actually flying by windshield view. And the plane crashed into a mountain, and seven members were killed, including Congressman Mickey Leland. And incidentally, what most people don't know is Congressman Alan Wheat was supposed to have been on that plane that night.
Alan Wheat was?
As well, yes.
The former Kansas City congressman, one of your predecessors, right?
Yes. He preceded Karen McCarthy, who I follow. He was scheduled to be on the plane, as was Ed Markey, his best friend on the planet.
Now the senator from Massachusetts, yeah.
Yes, and he was on the trip. He wanted to make sure he went because he wanted to go to the site where they have memorialized his closest friend. He after the trip, Ed Markey raised $100,000 to send Mickey Leland's two daughters through college. That was a very moving experience for us. And it it gave us the opportunity to listen to Africans who, and most Americans would have difficulty understandably remembering Mickey Leland.
Right.
But in Africa, he's almost a god.
Hmm. I also saw pictures of you on Facebook in an animal orphanage over there. Why were you there, and what was that like?
Poachers kill about 11 elephants a day in Africa. And if they continue, we will end up killing off one of the most exotic animals on the planet. And all of these infants or teenage elephants are in this refuge, and they are friendly. They won't be as friendly when they go back into the wild. And they were having their daily playtime. They were playing in a big puddle of mud. And so I was
so you got in the mud with
them.
Yeah.
I did, trying to train them on not getting in the mud. So and they didn't listen. They never accepted my leadership. And I was actually resentful.
I got to ask you, what's it like to fly on Air Force One? You've done something that few Americans ever have. What's it like?
It's amazing. This was my second flight on Air Force One, although George Bush invited me to fly once with him, which I could not do. It is amazing because it is a whole world. There's a whole world inside that airplane. And of course, there are parts of the plane that even members of Congress who with security clearances cannot see. It is a flying hotel and office building. You can pick movies that you want to see. There, you get a full meal, hot meal. You know, it seems like every other hour. I mean, they were, you know, stuffing us. Some of the folk who had not been on Air Force One went on a tour, which was very interesting. I did not go because at the time that they were going on the tour, I was making a few phone calls.
Yeah.
The one other thing that I think is amazing is that the Air Force takes care of this plane. And you have to get a special clearance to work on Air Force One, and there's a whole section for Secret Service. There was one gentleman who walked up to me who was from Kansas City, Missouri, Secret Service agent, and said that he, you know, had seen me on television. He wanted to try to get a chance to meet me, and finally somebody told him I was with this delegation. He is a good friend of Cindy Circo's. I think they went to school together.
Huh, sure.
And so it was just a fabulous, fascinating, informative trip. Now, we did do some serious business. The president and I did have a serious talk about the proposed Iranian deal. And that's the time that he became very serious. You know, no joking at all. His voice tone dropped an octave. And he proceeded to tell us how serious this proposal
right.
is, and the consequences of not doing it. Most of us read the entire deal, if you will, on the plane. They were provided for us, and which was very helpful because previously we had only gone. Members of Congress had only gone to the sessions here on the Hill, and so this was an opportunity not only to read it, but then to ask the president questions. And he said to us, he said, "I don't know if any of you guys noticed me on television at my press conference on the deal." He said, "I stood there at the podium, and essentially begged people to ask me a tough question."
Huh.
And he said, "The reason is that." I am absolutely certain that that we have a very good deal, and we cannot afford to have Congress, because this is a presidential election year, throw something out of the window that could reap negative consequences for the entire world.
Can you back the proposal, Congressman?
Well, as I told the president on the plane, I said, "Mr. President, I agree that as I read through this, that I'm not sure I can imagine getting a better deal. And I said, so, you know, I'm really trying to make sure that I find out every small component of this bill, and I want to hear the negatives. And he said to me, well, you know, if you come up with a negative point that you can't wrap your arms around, he said, call me, and I will personally answer. Susan Rice was on the mm-hmm. plane as well.
Sure.
So
the National Security Advisor, right. Mm-hmm.
She was able to give us a lot of information about the deal. So it wasn't completely a luxury ride where we watched movies all the way. You know, Professor Rice actually conducted a clinic. So it was in that respect, it was also a very, very valuable trip.
Well, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver is just back from Africa. And, Congressman, thank you very much for taking some time and giving us a good update here. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Steve.